Nicole hosts Easter every year. That's why she shops at BJ's Wholesale Club, stocking up on spiral ham, baked goods, fresh flowers, candy, and 5 dozen eggs.
I've got a lot of baskets to fill.
Nicole's not worried because she knows she can save big and get it all done in one trip.
It's like winning the Easter egg hunt.
When you save, everyone wins. Get a $15 digital coupon when you spend $150 in one transaction, now through April 5th. Visit BJ's.com/Easter coupon for details. BJ's, your Easter destination.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005 with over 3 million downloads. You are listening to Game Attack Radio with your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Postin, and Lady Luck.
I won this club.
Come on. Game Attack Radio.
Welcome to a special episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This is the old Godfrey. And wow, I think it's been a very long time. I think since May, we have the whole, I'm talking about the whole crew here. Let's start off with Paris. Paris, what's up?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Just want to talk about this Cryptarch.
All right. Also, we have Patrick.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
What's up? Good, man.
Good.
You know.
Destiny, man.
Yeah. It's all about Destiny.
Yeah,
of course.
It's all I dream about, you know. Anyways, yeah. Who else is on this show today, Danny?
Oh, we have also Mandy, aka Lady Luck. Mandy.
Hello.
Hola. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the scumbag himself, Pete Rock.
What up? What
Pete?
Up? What up?
What's up, man?
Oh, man, I just came back from GameStop. I mean, Cryptarch. I hate that
Cryptarch,
man. Dude.
Yes.
I swear.
Dude, let me ask you, man. You've been out for a very long time, man. How's it been? Like, we haven't heard from you in all.
I had to just. I know there's some people that on Twitter that were asking about where I was and, you know, just wondering what happened. Just had to take some time off and focus on me and the family and getting my whole situation, you know, down, to, you know, buying a house and stuff like that if people really care. But, I just had to get some me and the family time down, and you know, in this day and age, that's the thing that's most important, more important than purples and blues on Destiny and stuff. But you know, so yeah. Other than that, man, I'm doing good. Got some good time on Diablo 3. Destiny may cause me my relationship with my wife. I don't know.
Yeah, same here.
I didn't eat dinner with the family today.
Dude, you guys have been like 24/7.
Yes.
Obsessed.
I have not.
25/7.
I didn't eat dinner with my family tonight. Like, I'm sitting there. I'm like, no, I got to finish the strike mission with Truth and Ronell. I'm sorry. I can't. I got to stay here. I gotta stay here for my crew.
Oh,
and I just
God.
Talked about family is more important. And here I am going, Destiny's more important.
I think all of us are in that same situation, dude. Like, I get here.
I think I've had a little more control than you guys.
Not me, man. I can't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop.
The voice
can't
of reason.
Stop, won't stop. No, sir.
Yeah. All right. But before we start this roundtable discussion about Destiny, head over to gamertagradio.com and post your comments, feedback, and listen to our past episodes. Also, give us a call. 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or go to our website and click the Speak Pipe widget, and you plug in your mic to the computer, or download the app, and you could definitely leave a message through there if you're you know, outside of the U.S. Also, email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And make sure to download our Gamertag Radio app, totally free for Android, iOS devices, and also Windows Phone and Windows 8. All right, so I think we should start, guys. You know, Destiny. been a crazy couple of days nonstop playing this game. And I have to say, this has to be the most addicting game I have played this year. Wow. Hands down.
Okay.
Yes, I can't stop playing it, man. Like, I don't like the story.
What story?
I think nobody knows what the hell's going on with the story.
There's a story.
There's a couple of things that I really don't like about the game, but I don't know what it is, man. I get home and that's the first thing I do, man. I wake up in the morning. I have to do like a couple bounty missions before I go to work. What's wrong with me, man? Is it Destiny fever? What is it, man?
It's loot lust.
It's loot lust. Exactly. Well said, Pete. Very well said. It is loot lust. It's that magical MMO feeling where you're leading a second life, so you have to check in every day. You never know what could be going on. And the fact that now, you know, 100 of your friends are playing the exact same thing you are, you're always going to have someone to play with. The appeal.
Yes.
I totally understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But let's talk about this, man, because a lot of people been asking us, post a review, when is it? And the first thing we said, like, look, we want to take our time, really study this game, so we can say if we like it or not, you know? And I think overall, I think the whole crew likes the game, correct?
It's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. No, but I want to know, like, what your opinion. Let's go with Paris, because Paris has been kind of quiet. I know he's been one of
saving
a lot
it up.
Of things about the game.
I don't think I should go first.
Oh
no,
no, because I'll talk too long. Go somebody else.
Start elsewhere.
All right, who would like to be the first person to say something?
Do we even need to do this, like an introduction? I mean, everybody who's listening to the show knows who or what Destiny is, right? It's just, you know, it's Bungie's next iteration of whatever they're trying to put together, and it's loot lust mixed with expectations and disappointment, aka the Crypt Arc.
You guys are just never gonna like.
Oh, no,
go.
I'm telling you. Like, I don't know if I said it.
Heck no.
He's Rick Harrison from Pawn Stars meets GameStop. That's it.
That's what it is. Definitely, man.
What's that? You got a legendary Ingram. The best I can do is maybe two rare pieces of armor.
Not even.
Maybe.
I turned into purple.
Not even.
I turned
maybe
into purple
one.
And I got a level 16 chest piece. Come on. Really?
That is bad. I have not had one that bad yet.
But see, like, you know, this, I know I mentioned this so many times, guys. I know I mentioned this a lot, but this reminds me a lot of Phantasy Star Online, man. Like, the vibe. Like,
here we go. Again.
You know, I don't.
15 years now, bro. Let
I know,
it go.
Yeah, it's been a long time, of course. Yeah, of course. But, you know, this is like the closest thing that I've seen for a console ever since that game that's similar to, you know, to that. Like, I know I played Final Fantasy, had an MMO game, really didn't like it at all. And that's it. That's basically it. You know what I'm saying? So having Destiny now, like that, it brings back a lot of memories, man, of Phantasy Star Online, you know? So, I know a couple people mentioned that it's really repetitive, but isn't it all games are repetitive doing the same mission and then it gets difficult and
yeah.
You know? I think the thing that with repetitiveness is a lot of people like to use the phrase like, oh, it's repetitive. And what we really mean when somebody uses that term in this instance is you're not enjoying what you're playing anymore. So the gameplay to you is no longer fun once you reach a certain point, which I can see for some people, the idea of going back and doing like the story missions and the strikes and, you know, various different tasks in the world on harder difficulties probably isn't appealing, but I'm not sure if I'd really qualify it as truthfully being
repetitive
myself,
uh-huh,
because the experience you get each time you go back and replay those sections on the harder levels, the likelihood of you playing with the exact same people every time and getting the exact same experience, mm-hmm, is so minor,
mm-hmm,
that it's really hard to classify it that way unless maybe you're going through and playing by yourself.
Yeah.
I think that the majority of the people that bought this game and also game sites that reviewed it, I felt like a lot of them didn't really understand the game, like the vision that Bungie was trying to say with this, you know, with this game. Like, having the game a couple of days before it came out, but they couldn't play online. They had to wait until the launch at, I believe, in New Zealand. That's when they started. They opened the online servers, and from there you could, you know, play with whoever has the game and stuff. But having that, and then unlocking certain things, certain events, or and also like the raid just got unlocked a couple of days ago. I think nobody ever seen that before for a console, first person shooter wise and slash MMO.
Part of the problem too, I think, is expectations.
Yes.
Yes.
In that a lot of people went into this expecting it to be like Halo.
Yeah.
They so many people came in, and a lot of the complaints that I've seen have been literally, it's too much like Halo, but it's not enough like Halo.
Yeah,
that might be part of it is, like, for a lot of console gamers, and I can't speak for reviewers because a lot of them play a ton of different things, but for a lot of console gamers, this is an unusual new experience. They've never quite played something like it before. Mm-hmm. For many of us that have played on PC, we have this kind of MMO experience, some of us at least.
But not first-person shooter-wise.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a couple shooters.
They tried,
there
but
have
they
been
haven't
recently,
had
like Defiance and
Destiny has had.
Yeah.
Maybe not as large scale as this, but there's been options. So the combination of elements to us is maybe a little unusual for the bulk, mm-hmm. but a lot of the things that are happening within Destiny are things we're used to happening within an MMO. So, you know, you're leveling your gear, worrying about how you're getting things like your bounties and your Vanguard and all of those ranks, I guess. Those are things that are slightly different in like PC. You know, you do crafting and you have to worry about leveling up your class and things, but yeah, all of those still translate over to Destiny. So we look at it and say, oh, okay, this is still relatively familiar. A lot of console gamers don't have that same experience.
Yeah.
They have never really, like, you've hit it with bits and pieces when you've played an RPG, or, you know, you've played maybe a Borderlands. And so you've gotten bits of it, but you've never had to actually tackle all of that on the type of scale that this is, like an MMO. Mm-hmm. And I think that confuses a lot of people because they look in and they go, okay, well, this isn't what I wanted. You know, a lot of them wanted a Halo.
And also the problem too is that Bungie never said that this is MMO. So automatically those that buy the game, they think it's going to be similar to a Halo part, mm-hmm. you know, first person shooters. Somebody want to say something?
Yeah, I got to jump in. So,
okay.
The thing with Destiny is, okay, first and foremost, I absolutely love the game. I mean, anyone that's been following me on social media has seen me just chatting this thing up since it's come out. And the thing that we can't do it, Polygon, IGN, no one can get this in a review, I don't feel, but it's the social experience when you're playing with people is the magic sauce of this game, in that, you know, I play with Mandy and I've played a lot. I've played with a lot of different people that listen to the show and, you know, just other friends and everything. And every time we get together, it's a new, when I get with different people, it's always a new experience. You know what I mean? I'm always having some other kind of adventure that I may not have necessarily had with the other two people I played with previously. And mm-hmm. I think what people need to understand, like, if I had to give this a number review, you know, is it a 10 out of 10? Is it a 9 out of 10? No. The reviews that you've seen, 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10, are about right for what we got in the box.
Yes.
What was their day one is a 7 out of 10 game. It absolutely is. It has issues. I you know, there's the worry, are we going to get enough content? Is it going to get too repetitive? You know, glitches. I mean, there's all kind of things that people can complain about here a week out since the game has come out. I completely understand that. The thing that you can't review is potential. This game has so much potential down the road. I can almost 100% guarantee 6 months from now, this will not be the same game that we played at launch. A year from now, we absolutely won't recognize this game from what it was at launch, because the way Bungie's built this world, it is, as they quote unquote say in the marketing, a living, breathing, dynamic world. There's things that they can change on the fly at will. And that's where, you know, the freshness is going to come from. Now, all that's on Bungie. Bungie has to deliver on these things, and we've seen a little bit of it. Like, I think that Queen's Wrath, Bungie hasn't officially said what it is, but it looks like they're opening that up to be new PvE missions, you know, not doing just straight multiplayer.
Open space. Yeah. There's a couple areas where you can, like, run into a dead end.
Exactly.
And you'll get the name at the bottom that tells you you're entering a new region. But you can't get
right
there yet.
But so, that's completely but that's unlockable. It. And see, that's the thing. You can all of a sudden have the Cabal on old Russia, you know, something like that, or the Vex or whatever. I mean, there's all these dynamic things. Like, we didn't see the Fallen on Mars. You can throw the Fallen on Mars. That would completely change the dynamic of the way that we've been playing these things. So the content's coming. I'm hoping. I mean, again, it's all potential. But, you know, when I have seen 1 a.m. every night this week, that tells me something. Like, last night I was playing, I happened to look up, it was 2:40 a.m. and I go, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, but the whole,
it's like crack to
you. But the whole thing is, I'm having a blast. Like, anyone that in the community out there that has played with me, you know, we're laughing, we're joking, and we're on the weekly strike mission, and I'm crying and screaming and just everything.
You are hysterical when you go to turn in stuff to the Cryptarch.
There's a whole section of the podcast for the Cryptarch. I absolutely hate the Cryptarch. He's evil with all the different things. But see, here's the funny thing with Destiny. I've been very wishy-washy on the Crucible, the multiplayer, the PvP. I found myself the last couple nights, and even today, I've been playing it more and more. And it's not even that I'm necessarily playing with my friends. I'm going in solo, just with random people.
Same here.
And I'm starting to have a blast with it. And kind of like, you know, you guys said before, the whole loot lust thing is, I went ahead and I joined a faction. I'm with the First World. What is it? First War Cult. Yeah. So I joined with them, and I'm doing Crucible stuff, and I'm ranking. It's like, I'm looking at all these ranking things. I'm looking at all the things that you need to collect, and it's just driving me to want to do more and more, because fair or not, the game really does start at level 20. Now, that's not fair for someone to spend $60 and tell them, well, you got to wait 8 or 9 hours till you level up to actually start enjoying the game. But it's kind of true.
I enjoyed the
first portion.
Like,
I liken that to like a 10-hour tutorial. Honestly,
that's what it really was.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Was because basically, after by the time you get to level 20, you finally understand what it is that things do. Like, it's like, okay, now I understand why Bungie said, no, you got to be level 20, because it's not until you get to that level 18, 20 gray area where you understand, okay, my character can do this, but if I team up with a Titan and another Warlock, and he's got Voidwalker, and I got Sunsinger, and he could do the bubble thing. I mean, you could set it up so that you're timing each other, and then using your Sunsinger to buff everybody's cooldown so that they can get you know, their super powered up again. It's the little things like that that make you like, oh my God, I gotta go play some more. I want to go play some more. Like, we started the show 15 minutes ago, and I can't wait to get off so we can go keep playing.
Yeah.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to Gamertag Radio.
And I think too that, like, in the future, once everybody understands about the you know, Destiny, I think when the sequel comes out, I think people are going to give it a better reviews and better feedback. And I think because
it won't be new anymore.
No, it's not that, because now people understand what Bungie is trying to do with this game. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. Right now, everybody's like very confused, and they're basically waiting to see what they're planning to do in the future with this game.
Now,
I'm confident.
But here's the thing. I will say this is, while I definitely agree with you guys on all of these points, one, Bungie should have been better about explaining certain things, because there's stuff that I'm still learning now that I'm like, well, like, I still don't even really
get the factions.
I still don't really get, like, the factions. Like, I mean, within the game, there are certain things that they don't really explain.
We discover that through the community. I discover that because of my friends, not because Bungie has a manual online or on the game. Like, hey, here,
check it out. I'm not even saying, like, you could just get a little pop-up that says, you know, all it says is now you can pick a faction. I'm like, well, that's great. What's the point of picking a faction? Like, I'm not saying they have to give it to you word for word, play by play, explain every little thing, but they can give you more than, by the way, factions are open, and say, okay, well, go figure it out, you know, and that's on several different things more than that. You know, it'd be nice in some areas. I don't need an exact tutorial, but a little more direction, because for now I'm just ignoring the factions, because since I don't know what they do, what worth they have to me outside of having Crucible gear, I don't see the point.
But
and there's probably benefits there that I'm choosing to not get because the explanation was so slim. But that being said, that's just a side point. That being said, I agree with you guys on this game changing over time, because that's what MMOs do, no matter what Bungie not being willing to call it that. But you don't review games on potential. We can say this is what we think, but that's like saying, oh, well, this game looks really great. It has a lot of potential. Every time that we do, whenever we see something for a trailer or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, it's great, but you base it on what you actually get. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's going to change. Like Paris said, hopefully it's going to get way better. I'm personally having fun. I'm enjoying it. I do think eventually I'm going to reach a point where I say, okay, I've done everything I can do that is worth it to me, and now they have to release new content for me to continue to play the game. But being willing to bet on the potential is something to maybe be a little careful with, especially for a lot of people that haven't bought into Destiny.
Does it
yet.
Have to be more content, and it can't it, why can't it be what they've been doing all this past week, which is releasing raids and objectives? And
I'm saying content as a whole, so raids, objectives.
Think about it, they kind of they've been,
you know,
doing
it doesn't
that.
Have to be opening new areas.
But we know in the short term that content is coming, because those expansion packs, you know, at least the first one's already been dated for December. So you know, in December you're going to get whole new areas to explore, new multiplayer maps, new strike missions, the whole thing. So we know that. So between September to December, Bungie needs to basically just keep doing what they're doing and having these various events and just keeping people engaged. And mm-hmm. like I was telling, like you alluded to, Mandy, and I was even talking to Danny offline about this. Like, if you look at King's Landing in Old Russia, that's a whole area of that map that's explorable that they have sectioned off right now. So they could simply unlock that and populate it with enemies.
More space.
And
without a doubt. But that's, I guess I'm a little iffy, because you can tell me DLC is coming and you can date it. But how many times have we seen games say, hey, buy our season pass, look at this DLC we're working on, and then it takes them 2 years to put it out.
Oh, no, you get no argument on that. And that's why I even said previously, it's potential, and you can't review or expect potential. They have, but it's on Bungie to actually deliver the content. And all I'm saying is, I can see where this game is going, and I'm excited for its future, and I want to be on board with it. So, I mean, that, and one other thing that you were talking about before, as far as Bungie not explaining things as well as you would have liked. If this was 1998 and it was EverQuest, I would expect that, because guess what? There was no Twitter. There was no Facebook. There wasn't this whole social media phenomenon. There wasn't a YouTube. Whereas that's now, but
you could talk
exactly.
So, hold on,
Mandy. So what Bungie's doing is they're actually getting us out of the old way of thinking and trying to push people forward. And in other words, use the tools that are in front of you. Use what we use every day. We talk every day via the internet, but we live all
how
over
many
the
people
country.
Are us?
A lot.
But we lot. Are
everybody's on Twitter and on Gaff,
okay,
and
really?
All that kind of stuff. And they're on YouTube looking at stuff.
And that's without a doubt, you know, I like the social aspect, but at the same time, I understand the comments that you get from people who say, well, I'm only playing on my own, so I don't have a group of friends. I'm not in a clan. I'm not on Twitter. You know, I'm not actively involved in these social media. You know, you don't live on the internet, okay? You know, sort of thing is, you can, there are things where I agree that there are parts of it where it's like, oh, this is great to discover with friends. And then there's parts that are, I feel like, should be an inherent portion of the game where people are missing out because they don't understand. And because it's not necessarily going to be something that comes up in conversation, because I've asked about the factions probably, you know, on Twitter to people I've played with, and I still don't really understand the faction. So I'm still not doing anything with the faction. So even with my social network providing me with things, with explanations that they can tell me of what they're doing, it's still a faucet of the game that has no use. And I'm using that as one particular example, but I don't think it's necessarily fair to say, well, because we have social networks and we're going to go talk to people, that every person who plays the game should be expected to do the same.
No. And you're absolutely correct on that. Now, one thing that I would strike against Bungie, and again, they can fix this if they so choose, the tower needs to be a place in game where people can actually talk to other people.
Oh, yes.
Versus people that are just on your fire team. That's the one thing that's
they
need to implement that. And like when we talked to Deej, when we had that interview a couple months ago, I understand their reasonings why they're not doing it, but at least in the tower, they need to do it. And they need to also give people the option to quickly mute someone that's being an idiot.
I think certain parts of the tower, like maybe a section where you can meet other people, maybe like that, but the thing is,
I don't like being coddled that much by a video game. And yes, it's a T-rated video game, so I know why they do that, to keep all the hatred off of the airwaves unless you're friends with people. But it's a detriment to the game. You know, example is the tower, but a better example is the PvP. The fact that you cannot talk to your PvP teammates without being in a fire team beforehand is unacceptable. It just makes the game frustrating and unfun, because you can't even tell someone, hey, look out behind you. It's just you're basically fighting with a bunch of bots that have sentience. And I don't like that at all. And that seems like an easy fix. You know, the proximity chat, yeah, I can understand that might be hard to implement, but at least please turn on voice chat and PvP, because if you're not going in there with friends, you're just going to get, you're going to get whooped, and you're going to have a bad time and you're going to hate it. So I just don't think that is a very good way to showcase your PvP. And I think it's a really good element that, like Paris said, it grew on me. At first, I was like, this is all right, I don't know. But the more I played it, I got really addicted, and now I'm totally into it. Like, I'm full on, you know, high school Call of Duty mentality mode on this game. I love the PvP aspect. But it's just frustrating, because unless I'm going in with friends, I'm just playing by myself. I'm a lone wolf, essentially. And I really can't make friends very easily in this game. You know, I've made one friend, I think, just by randomly, you know, inviting someone to my group and like talking to them and, you know, getting in a party and stuff like that. But everyone else has just been, you know, fans of the show, people I know in real life, or people already on my friends list. I wish I could make more friends naturally the way I used to playing these games, and certainly the way I used to play World of Warcraft. So if this is supposed to be an MMO and I'm supposed to be social interaction with people, I need to be able to communicate with them. You know, even something as simple as a chat box in the tower, I could tap in real fast. Even if I can't talk to people, I need something more. I don't think this game is very fun by yourself, honestly, unless you're, you know, playing low-level content for the sake of grinding and you're just blowing through it. But again, if you don't have that network of friends, you should be able to make it. And it shouldn't be, you know, something as like, you know, going to the tower and randomly inviting people and hope someone joins and, you know, hope they have a microphone and hope they're a nice person and all these other things, when you should just be able to talk to people and just be like, hey man, you want to run something? Like, hey, yeah, sure. It's just way too many steps involved. I mean, like, here's my horror story. I tried the raid the day it launched 2 days ago.
Good luck.
My god, trying to find five other people was near impossible. It took me an hour. All these people were like, oh no, it's impossible, I won't play with you guys. It's and I'm like, wow, what a naysayer. Those are pessimists. You should at least try before you say something like that. But then we tried it, and of course we got decimated. It's a very hard thing. We couldn't even get through the front gate.
But wait, let me ask you this. Possibly, like, what, like, were you at like a high level or?
No, I mean, we were not all 26, don't get me wrong, but like, not to be cocky, but I'm pretty confident in my skills of not getting shot in a video game.
You hear this?
So if I don't get hit, it really doesn't matter. But the problem becomes not doing enough damage to the enemies. That was the problem we had. Yeah. But it's really cool, and I want to try it again. But first off, the fact there's no matchmaking for that is insane. Like, Bungie, shame on you. There is no
that
reason
I disagree,
not to have matchmaking
Boston.
In that.
I disagree with that, Boston.
Let me jump in for a sec. As far as that raid goes, that's the whole point of you need six people that are absolutely working as a team at all times. I feel they need to be six people
that know each other outside of the game. Not yep, necessarily.
Exactly. What if you don't know each? What totally if you don't agree. Know six
well, then
people
you don't need to
game.
Be doing the raid right now. You need to build those relationships before you jump into something.
How do you build it if there's no chat?
Yeah.
You have to just
like
go
I
find
said,
random
outside,
people and hope they'll be your friend.
Mandy, outside the game, not in the game. That's the whole point of the raid. It's literally the ultimate challenge that you can have in the game. So, yep. So what Bungie is saying, and if you go look, talk to some of the people that have already beat it, I've read some of the articles online, that's what they're saying. You have to work as a cohesive unit. You can't build that in 5 minutes of meeting someone online. It needs to be someone that you've been playing multiplayer match after multiplayer match with over time. Before you
and
jump
what they
into
said
something
too,
like that.
And they said that this is one of the hardest things that they've ever done in gaming, like experience-wise, like passing this from start to finish. It took the first group 13 hours nonstop to finish this the raid. Totally. I honestly, I was talking with Paris about this a couple of days ago. I really don't see myself doing that at all. I'd probably like try it out, you know, but... It's going to be tough for our age, Paris. Am I right? Like, I really don't see us doing like spending 13 hours to try to pass something like this.
Oh, I like I said, jokingly, I would literally have to tell my wife, all right, I'm going to go stay at a hotel for the weekend and I'm bringing the PlayStation with me. And I would just have to hunker down. And that's all I would do because I literally would not have the time to be able to do it. Just there would just be way too many distractions in my house to even attempt something like that. But it is something eventually I want to do. You know what I mean?
At least once.
Yeah,
at least once.
Just to try it. Why not?
Yeah. And I look forward to us trying it, but you know, the problem is once people hit 20, I feel like it's very difficult for people to get that light gear. Like I've noticed a lot of my friends are struggling to get, you know, above the 2021 area. I'm not calling you. I know you guys are doing well too. But just that was my problem. It's just, you know, I was like all ready to do the strike mission and I look at my friends list and it's a whole bunch of like 5, 10, 15, some 20s. I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally gonna have to wait for all my friends to level up. And I really can't like do too much to help them. Sure, we can run strikes together, but I just it
that's
feels bad that I'm
but that's how you level up.
I don't know. I'm entirely
there's different
on
ways. Yeah, but that's why I tell people like join factions, do strike missions, do Vanguard, Crucible. Like once you start doing that, and also bounties, that helps out a lot. That is when you're gonna start building your character and getting better armor and everything. But if you just do one thing and that's it, and it's not working out, you're never gonna level up. You know, there's people that don't read no blogs that are a friend of mine's, and I've been checking out like their characters and stuff, and they're higher than me. They're higher than me, and they don't really go online and Twitter, none of that stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? So I believe it was Mandy saying that there's a lot of people that won't know what to do and to level up the characters, but eventually, once you start experimenting things, you will find out and discover a lot of new things, man. That's what I did. I was like curious, what is this? Who is this person? Let me talk to and that's how I found out. Plus having, you know, people like, you know, Pete or Ronell, a friend of ours, also telling me other things that I didn't know. And there's always new things to discover in this game, and that's the beauty part about Destiny 2, you know.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Yeah, I think that's why it's a Bungie game, is it's exploration based, and you are encouraged to go and find the most random things. And like Mandy, who can just magically find loot chest, like it's a sixth sense to her. That's kind of the appeal of the game to me. You know, I enjoy that I'm encouraged for going out of my way to explore things. And if I'm in combat, there is so many opportunities to outflank and outmaneuver your enemy. I said this earlier, but I don't think I've ever had so much fun just moving around in a first-person shooter as I have in Destiny. It literally is almost half of the game as a platformer, and I love it because of it, because you can just absolutely outmaneuver your enemies. Not only the PvE aliens, but the PvP players. I mean, you can just destroy people if you know how to outmaneuver them, and that just is very rewarding. So, I like it.
Let's talk about, like, the bosses. Are you guys, how challenging is the bosses for you? Like, you know,
not
when you
at
first
all,
started.
Really.
Well, that would be another knock of the game, is the bosses are basically just bullet sponges.
Yeah, they just tank.
It's when they send waves of the other enemies at you to distract you from shooting at the boss is what the challenge is.
Yeah.
Which one did we do, Paris? The moon.
Ah, Thogoth.
What, 24? Level 24?
No, no, no. This was early.
Not even before. This was early on. Like, the first time you do the strike on the moon. I mean, it's literally that last battle with, like, the boss. It's not that the boss is necessarily difficult. It's just he has a gigantic health bar. And the whole time you're fighting him, they'll just say, oh, it's been 30 seconds. Here's three wizards and three knights and a million other little people to just annoy you, where you have to defeat them before you can refocus on the enemy. So,
but see, that's where it comes into play, what I talked about earlier, where you play and you base your, not playstyle, but your character's abilities in conjunction with the other people. So, like, you have, and I'm not sure if it's the Hunter or the Titan that can do the bubble shield. You do the bubble shield, Titan. Then you have your Warlock, who's the Voidwalker, come out, throw his Nova Bomb, and then your Sunsinger comes up and cools down everybody's super so that they recharge quicker. And then everybody's dropping light balls, and everybody's picking those up, and you go right back to the same thing.
Into a room. Well, and here's the thing is, it's one of those where, as I'm playing it, I was enjoying it. The people I was playing with did make it very amusing. Several times we did that one. We did several of the strikes multiple times, and I was doing it with different groups of people. And so who you're playing with and how they play and the way that you move about the space definitely affects the experience. And for me personally, I enjoyed it and it was fun. I think only one exact time where I'm like, okay, guys, I just want to go to sleep now. So let's just finish the strike because it was supposed to be the last one of the night. But
your fourth one.
I can again say that I can see for somebody that's maybe playing with a single core group where eventually, you know, after the first couple of times, that's no longer
that's
appealing.
All communication,
you know, it's really depends. Basically, if you want to play this game and get the full experience out of it, you have to be willing to step outside the game and expand your network. You know, if you just want to play it really by yourself, or if you want to play it with just two friends and blast through it once, then it's not going to be for you.
Yeah, it's not a $60 game for a one time through.
But that's the whole thing. If you play a World of Warcraft or something like that, it's the same scenario. It's just so happens this is a shooter and it's on a console and it's doing this on a console hasn't been done before. So I think a lot of people just aren't ready for it yet. They didn't know what
ahead
to
of
expect.
His time.
So
you think of ahead of his time?
Yeah, it's ahead of its time. I mean, the Division's going to do the same thing. Think of that.
Yeah, but hopefully in a larger scale.
It's a whole list of games. I would just say that maybe it's that people haven't experienced it before. I don't know if I'd say it's ahead of its time because obviously we've seen tons of games do it on PC. It's just that
I'm talking about like first person shooter.
Nobody's been brave enough. Defiance was a shooter,
but it was a bad one.
Nobody's been brave enough to do it on console. That's the point, is nobody was willing to take the risk like Bungie did to make this type of game and put it on a console.
And the whole key thing is the whole key thing is the game is built around grinding, because once you hit 20, that is only thing you're going to be do is grinding along with PvP. So that either appeals to you or you're going to hate that. There's just no way around that. And to a lot of people, when they see a AAA game from Activision and Bungie, they think it's going to be some amazing long cinematic experience that they're going to play through and love it. But you're going to blow through this game, and then it's like, now I have to redo this content over and over and over again to get better gear. And that's the dividing line, really. Like, if you don't enjoy redoing content to get better gear, but the promise of better stuff down the line, this is not going to appeal to you. You're going to say, well, I've already done this. Why would I want to do this again and again and again? And I've already found myself kind of being, you know, kind of bored of the strike missions that are there. I've already done them all, you know, dozen times or more, but I'm still going to keep doing them because I enjoy leveling up and I want to do the raid, look forward to the future content. So I'm going to make that effort to keep going through it. But again, I'm not the norm by any means. I'm used to grinding, especially in MMOs style games. So I'm curious how many people are just going to straight up drop this game once they realize that this is it. You know, most likely you've already beaten this game in a week and you realize what the long term is. So are you going to stick around? Are you going to sell it? I've seen a lot of opinions shooting around both ways on the internet, but I think this is a game that I'm going to keep for quite some time because I've invested in this character I'm making, and I'm enjoying playing it. You know, someone asked me earlier, you know, are you going to go ahead? You know, when's the point where you said, okay, enough's enough, I want to make a second character? And I'm like, never, honestly, because there's three classes. I feel attachment to my warlock, and I would look forward to leveling it up throughout the course of this game, you know, because I can't wait to see what, you know, player said, what is this game and my character going to look like 6 months or a year from now? You know, that's the promise I'm looking for at this point. But for as it stands now, how much can I play this game before I'm like, all right, other games have come out now. It's been a month, 2 months. What's pulling me back in other than, you know, that MMO mentality of checking in, you know, doing the daily, doing the one PvP match, you know, doing the weekly if I haven't done it yet, and then I'll probably just hop off because that's MMO mentality. You basically, it's a time management simulator. You know, I want to get the right bounties, I want to do the right things, I want to maximize my time so I'm getting the best reward for myself without feeling like, you know, what am I doing here? I've just, you know, been playing strike missions over and over and over again. And it's great if you're playing with friends, you know, like you guys have said, it's a different experience every time. But if you're not and trying to solo that, I think a lot of people are just going to get fed up with this game because I don't think the content is going to come fast enough for the people this game appeals to.
I mean, they just announced the day of, right, Paris? So they had like a whole list of like things that's coming out, multiple things coming out this month.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying
stuff that are coming out for next month.
Oh, no, so I get that.
The content's going to be there, and there's a lot of things that we don't know yet. We just got to give it time too, you know.
Yeah, but the bulk of people are looking at it and saying, what am I getting?
Yeah, should
right
I go
now?
Out and spend $60 right now?
Look, man, the game just been out a week. Give it time. Jesus. I mean,
I'm not arguing with you,
no,
but
not
the
you.
Regular people
no,
don't
not
look at
you,
it that
man.
Way.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you. I'm talking about like the fans, the people that actually bought this game. Like the content is going to be there. They just gotta chill and give it some time. I think people are not.
They're not used to that.
They're not used to that. They're not patient. They're not being patient.
That's
a
PC MMO mentality.
Yeah. But let me ask you this, guys. So, like, I really like this game, but at the same time, it gets really frustrating trying to get armor or trying to get like legendary armor.
But that's part. That's the game, though.
Yeah. No, that I know it's the game, but don't you think that in a way, it's kind of way too random?
No, because here's why.
Here's why.
There's a reason it's called legendary. There's a reason it's called exotic, so that when you do get it, you're happy as hell that you got it because something.
I got a legendary.
It's not something that's like gonna fall in your lap just easily. Yeah. I mean, it's like let me just take this example with the PvP. I actually like the way that they do the PvP because really. Yeah, you can be a badass at PvP, come finishing first every time, but that doesn't guarantee you, at least in these modes, that you're going to get the best loot. In other words, they're encouraging everyone play the entire match because at the end, no matter where you finish, you might get something for it. And the funny thing is, as you keep playing, those people that aren't very good at it, they're going to start getting better. And then all of a sudden they want to keep playing it because they're actually good at it. You know what I mean? That's kind of the little trick that they're doing with that. So when you do finally get that random, like what was it? David opened up a chest and he got a flipping sniper rifle that was in a raid chest or part of the raid or something, right? Something crazy like that. It was right, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That's part of my addiction to this game is let's talk about the Cryptarch for a second. The fact that I will go out there and bust my tail getting, you saw the picture I put up earlier. I had like legendaries and blues and all this stuff, rares, and I'm all excited. I was like, all right, here we go with this Cryptarch again. Let's see what he give me, you know, and then he gives me four pieces of crap. I get mad and I go, well, I'm going to go back there and do it again. Sounds crazy, but it's like that love hate relationship that you just can't, you can't walk away from it. You got to keep going back to them.
Perfect.
Well,
this example, here's right before we came on.
Here's one that I had. I believe I had a legendary item, right? And I was excited. I'm like, oh man, this is going to help me, you know, increase my character even more. But once I unlocked it, I noticed it was an armor for a totally different class that
Yeah.
It's useless. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Okay, here's the thing, too, because I can't trade. I just have it there.
But that's the thing that encourages you to go and stop using your level 24, 25, whatever, war or Titan, I think is what you're using, and switch up to another class so that you can look forward to getting to that piece.
I just don't see myself doing that, man. I'm sorry.
I'm glad they brought that up. The lack of trading is stupid. I'm sorry.
No, I disagree.
It doesn't bother me at all.
I disagree completely because if you had trading in this game, the game it would completely break it.
It would have broken the game.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will because
then it defeats the purpose of you wanting to go and do the effort to get the
items. Exactly. Like, because
just make it as simple as you have to have a level requirement to be traded for it. You cannot be given higher level things than your level is. Simple.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But here's the thing: all of a sudden, people are going to start selling stuff on eBay. On whatever, you know, whatever.
You
know what's going to happen. You know that's going to happen. Hey, I got this exotic, blah, 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 $500 on eBay, and someone's going to be dumb enough to buy it. You know,
Paris will buy it.
No. I get my hustle on to get my gear. I'm good. I'm good. All right. I don't need to buy nothing.
I know.
I see what you're saying, but I just don't. Again, that happens in every game. I don't think it should be taken away a feature that I expect in an MMO. And I mean expect because every other game of that style lets you trade. And at minimum, like Diablo, it lets you drop it so someone else can pick it up on the ground. The fact that neither of those is in there, I really don't like that. Because I enjoy helping my friends and being like, oh, cool, I found some low-level armor while I was out exploring. Let me give that to you and help you out. Now it's like the best I can do is I can be your bodyguard and kill all your stuff for you, which is fine. But just you're kind of missing half of the social experience of, you know, helping your friends level up is helping them get stuff.
But Paulson, honestly, we just will agree to disagree on that. I don't like that. I feel like go out and earn your stuff versus having someone give it to you.
I'm definitely a person that prefers to go and earn stuff, but also I'm the kind of person where I know people's time is valuable, and I know there's a lot of people that cannot put the kind of time that I can in this game, and I like to help them out by saying, hey, I got this Titan armor that I can't use at all. Let me give it
to
you.
Yeah, give me $500, and I'll give it to you.
Forget money. What? I don't know. I'm putting it this way. I'm jealous because I have a friend of mine that lives in town that, you know, their house is one PS4 and three guys that live there, and they're all playing one of each of the classes, and they're all like 22, 23, playing on the same account, and whenever they get stuff, they can just throw it in the vault and trade it with each other. I'm like, that is such a good idea. Why is that restricted to just one profile? Why can't I do that with my friends?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to Gamertag Radio.
But it's like Mandy said, that's the point of the vault. Like Danny brought up his scenario, I have two pieces of Titan legendary armor just sitting in the vault. So one day, if I do decide to make a character, guess what? I'm probably going to make a Titan because I know I got that legendary armor just sitting there in the vault. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's to encourage you to experience all the other characters versus if there was an open trading system, I would just always be a warlock. And anything that isn't for a warlock, I'm just trading it away to try and get something for my warlock.
It encourages you to get out of your comfort
your bubble
zone,
yeah,
and get into something that you normally wouldn't play, which is strange because I chose the warlock, which is completely out of my realm of expectation. I typically go with a tank type. I'm just gonna go and you have to shoot me a lot more than you're gonna shoot the guy on the right to kill me. You know, I like getting in the middle of it and just shooting a shotgun and just spinning around like a fool, you know. So am I storing stuff for the next guy? Absolutely. I'm storing it for my next character that I build up. Am I going to spend as much time on him as I have with this warlock? Maybe eventually over a gradual period of time, but I'm going to spend more time obviously on my warlock because that's my first. You know what I mean? I want to get him up so that I can do these raids and the glass, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
What's funny is
this isn't even like,
go for it.
This isn't even the major part of it. Like if you look on the community, if you go to Bungie.net and you go through their forums, there's like stories and opinions and thoughts and theories of how this game goes, because the game ends and you're kind of like, all right, that's it. Yeah. There's got to be
that was
more.
My reaction.
There has to be more. I mean, it just ended and that's it. Game over. You know, there, it kind of leaves you with that taste in your mouth. Like, okay, why not just come across and put, you know, 2015 Destiny 2 September, you know, so you know what to expect. It leaves a lot to be desired for.
And I think, well, mention what we talked about the other day, though, Pete.
Well, I'm actually getting to that. So I think what they're going, okay. I think the ultimate Bungie plan is to start to unfold this story over the next year or two. And so that, and this is just completely a theory. If I'm right, you know, congratulations, milestone. If I'm wrong, you know, it's Pete, you know,
scumbag Pete.
It's Pete, you know, you kind of expect that, right? So I think what they're going to do is there may not be a Destiny 2, or there will be, but it's just going to continue to be expansions on the current map. So right now you've got Earth, Moon, Venus, Mars, and the Reef. So 6 months from now, they release kind of like a DLC / expansion of the game, and it starts opening up more planets. So now you got Jupiter, and you got Saturn, you got Mercury showing up, and you can start traveling to these planets and start traveling between these planets as the galaxy expands eventually to the universe, mm-hmm. and more planets and more star systems, you know. So will there probably be a Destiny 2? Probably, but that might just be a total new story. Like, you might jump into the Vex, like the history of the Vex, or you know brand new species of whatever. So
I have to ask, was it with you guys? Because I remember long ago when everybody was starting to get much more hype for Destiny, that I was like, you know, I'm not sure how I feel. I'm not sure what they're going to do with the story. I'm just worried about it. And everybody's like, no, it's Bungie. They did Halo. It'll be fine. The story's going to be great. And now look,
I called it.
So I have a theory about this game. Me and my coworker were talking about him. He's on PlayStation 4, and you know, I call him the SDF, and he calls me the Emerald fanboy or whatever. And we have fun with it, right? It's kind of like our Google chat, but it's at work, right? So we started talking about it, and we have this theory. According to the game, you are the central figure to save the universe, you know, and help the Traveler. But the thought pattern between me and my friend at work is that it's not about you. It's about the Ghost, because they always talk about, oh, we're, you know, like when you go to the moon. And if I'm getting into spoiler, spoiler mode here, you know, you may want to like stop listening now.
Can I pause you before you start? Unfortunately, I have to leave, so I'll be dropping off now. But continue your discussion.
Okay. And, all right.
I'll see you guys.
We're about
week.
To wrap up. And all right. All later. Right. Paris.
He's like, I'm going to go pee. Okay.
Exactly.
No, I know. I'm about to go get my children. See you later.
AKA the Crypto.
Yeah.
All right. So in part of the game, and you might see it during the commercials, your character ends up on the moon, and your ghost is asked, oh, he's dead. Where's his ghost? As if that's more important than what happened to the Guardians, because the Guardians are supposed to be the ones that are saving, you know, that are the last... you know, the last protector of humanity. So it got us to thinking, well, maybe it's more about the ghost and not about you. You know, it's like, because you make the little ghost comment, as does the Stranger, and it's like he gets pissed off about that. But when you make a comment and you make a decision, he gets mad at you. So we started thinking that the story is more about protecting the ghost. You're the muscle, you're the meat shield to protect the ghost, so that nothing happens to the ghost, because the ghost is supposed to be from the Traveler. So you're saving the spawn of the Traveler, which are these little light ghosts, and you're just the muscle. And if you think about it, it's kind of like Halo. Okay. Yeah, you're John, exactly. you're the Spartan protecting Cortana, which was the ultimate goal. Save Cortana, you know, as a result, save the universe, but save Cortana by being the muscle. So it's kind of, we kind of made that, you know, we kind of came up with that theory, and we posted it up on Bungie, and it's gotten a little bit of traction. We've got a bunch of people who, you know, who kind of like the idea. I mean, it's different. It's outside of the box. We're not saying that it is, but it makes sense. And it's something that, you know, I'd like to see what the listeners think about that. And if you can't post in the, you know, post on the site, or, you know, send us some feedback, let us know what you think. Is that something that maybe you think you could get behind and be like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, I can fucks with that? Or, you know, Pete's drinking again and he's back on the show, it ain't nothing changed in four or five months.
No, Pete, I think you're dead on. If you think about it, pretty much everything you do in that game involves taking that little robot along and letting it scan things. You're just essentially escorting it and then defending against waves of enemies.
Pretty There's much. Repetition you're right you're there. Protecting him while he's surfing subreddits and Imgur for pictures.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. It's about to like hit like almost an hour now. But anything else you guys want to say before we finish it up?
Shout out to everybody that's spoken up on the forums on Bungie. Shout out to the. How many people do we have on our clan now? 80 plus people?
Group wise, it's like 150 something. Okay. But clan wise, I think like 50, 60 around
56
there.
People in the clan, 159 people that are actually 143 followers, 159 members. I mean, for being a little site like us, I mean, that's pretty impressive. You know, I probably should probably get a little bit better about asking people to join in. I actually have been jumping into, I like to jump into random people's games and just be like, yo, what are you doing? Let's go mess around. Let's go be badass.
Yeah, let's do this.
And people that don't normally expect me to just jump into their games. And I think that's part of the fun where, like, you know, somebody could be in the middle of a stressful situation and you just come in, boom, here I come to save the day, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's something that I wouldn't normally do. And again, it's taken me out of my comfort zone. It's taken me outside of what I normally do, which is only play with my five or six friends on Call of Duty or, you know, the other shooters. This gets me playing with a lot more people that I have on my friends list. And I like that.
I will agree with that. I've played with a wider variety of people. Absolutely. In the last week and a half than I probably have on any co-op multiplayer game in the past couple of years. So that is a big shout out to all of our community that's been hopping into to game with us. I've left my fire team party open every time so anybody could hop in and join. And there's been a wide range. It's been quite fun.
Yeah, and I'm the same. Cool, man. And shout out to all the people that friend requested me on PSN after episode we did last week. It's been awesome, the response I've gotten. I have so many people now on Destiny.
You have friends now?
I have friends now. I'm like a real PSN gamer. I have 100 PSN friends.
How many do you think you have?
100 to overall.
Nice. Yeah. Okay,
so
that's good.
Yeah, I look at my list and I always have between like 20 to 30 people online. It's great. And like Manny said, I just leave my room open, so anyone that wants to join is more than welcome to. But yeah, I can't wait. I've played with a couple of fans so far, but I want to play with more. But most of it has been playing with people I know around town. But yeah, I really enjoy, like Pete said, just like jumping in and helping people out, because that's predominantly why I found World of Warcraft so fun, was the concept of just helping other people, like playing as like a healer and healing other people and saving people, and, you know, just being a good Samaritan essentially, because that's just a good feeling to have. And combining that with, you know, a very tightly controlled shooter, and it is, I'm very impressed by the controls in the game. It just works well. And, you know, I'll tie up that repetition comment we made earlier. Someone on the internet, I read it a while ago, but it really makes sense. When you take the grinding aspect of an MMO and you put it into a shooter, it suddenly becomes a whole lot less like grinding and more like you're just killing things. So that's either like you're killing weaker things and having a good time being a badass, or you're fighting really difficult things and using, you know, team tactics and strategy, and, you know, it's...
And still failing.
Yeah, still failing. It's just like there's just a variety of ways to tackle the content, and I've enjoyed switching between that mentality of playing, you know, casually and having fun and laughing, and then getting on to serious mode and like, oh, let's take this down. This is tough. I don't know. I really like what this game has done so far. But again, I'm curious to see where we'll be, you know, at the end of the year, for example, when all these other games start coming out. But for right now, I'm enjoying myself, and I don't see myself stopping playing this game daily anytime soon, just because there's still so many people that I haven't played with yet. And again, I want to start getting my friends ready to take on the raid, because I know we can do it. And this goes out to anyone who hears me right now. That's we can do that. No problem. I will take leader. I will organize it. We will destroy it. Simple as that. We just got to level up. So anybody who needs help leveling up, hit me up.
You have the time. You guys have the time. I don't have the time.
Yeah, but Danny, we were supposed to do it yesterday, and we fell apart right before we were about to start.
No, no, no. We were gonna test it out.
But I wasn't leveled up. I was a level 22. I needed to be a 23. I'm now level 20. I'm almost a 25. So bring it, Punk. Let's go.
We could do it now, Pete.
Let's do it.
But there's no way in hell I'm going to spend that.
Whatever. Tomorrow's Friday. My boss isn't in the office. I don't have that much expectation to work anyways.
It's not about actually completing it. It's about trying.
Saying we attempted and failed.
Let me tell you, it looks very stressful, man. I seen videos. And I'm like, wow.
It's just an action version of the Cryptarch. You're going to fail and get disappointed anyway. So whatever.
But that reward at the end, you're going to want it bad enough. You're going to go for it.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to wrap it up. This was episode 450. We just need the 50 more to hit 500. That's crazy, right?
Ooh,
so,
scary.
Yeah. By the way, by the end of this month, I'm going to reveal some numbers of GTR. It's pretty impressive. Very, very impressive.
You know what's impressive? My desktop background on my computer is a Destiny image.
Oh, you're a dork.
I'm so proud.
You're a dork. But anyways, head over to gamertagradio.com, put your comments, feedback, all that good stuff. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR, or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. And that's about it. I think next week we're gonna have a special guest joining us. Michael Pachter is gonna be joining Gamertag Radio for episode 451, and yeah, that's gonna be pretty cool. I got some pretty good questions for Pachter, so stay tuned next week. All right, guys, and we're out. See you in Destiny.
Yeah,
right,
back to Destiny.
Peace.
See you.
To Destiny.
Later.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Tune in next time.